Hello.
Hello, Eric.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm doing well, my friend. How are you?
Well, okay.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that as I get older in this radio business, when I'm asked to interview guys like yourself, it's I don't have to do any research because, you know, you were a part of the fabric of my life with music. I remember, being 10 years old, 11 years old, and listening to The Animals. And one of my favorite songs, what I always loved to listen to and always got a kick out of, was the story of Bo Diddley. Which I thought was just a very, you know, at that point, I had an older brother, we just used to try to play that, and we used to laugh at the lyrics and the little parts you did. But it's really neat to have you on the phone today.
And now we've got a new one.
You do?
On the new album.
All right.
Another story of Bo Diddley.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh, that could be very cool because it was a very entertaining song. It had, of course, the Bo Diddley beat. But the characters that you did, it was going back 50 years, for God's sakes. I'm not going to remember it like it was yesterday. Made it just a really, really cool song, And I tell a lot of the younger people I work with, to be a part of the music scene, during that change of like 1960, 61 to 64, was an incredible time, And it's like a lot of people think that, well, there was no music in England prior to the Beatles. And I'm saying, Jesus Christ, man, these frickin' bands, they're all over the place. The only thing the Beatles did is they just opened the door to let everybody come in.
On my new album, Till Your River Runs Dry, I have a dedication to Bo, and it's about the funeral, his funeral that I went to.
It was back in, was it 09?
When was the funeral?
I can't remember when it was, but it was a few years back, yeah.
Clearwater, Florida, and it was just 2009, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's and it's funny that it seems as though, being part of the British invasion, where England, the English bands, sort of reintroduced some of the great American blues legends to Americans.
Yeah.
That we weren't familiar. I remember, getting involved in music in like 1960, and it was, the Beach Boys and Four Seasons, the girl groups, whatever. And then that fateful night in 64 when the Beatles were not on Ed Sullivan, it was a complete change. I mean, the world in the United States, as an American, it was never the same. And, the Beatles, the shiny, good-looking boys, Stones, a little bit of the bad guys. Then you had the Animals, and you guys were doing, John Lee Hooker stuff, old Chuck Berry things, and Bo Diddley, Muddy Waters. I mean, it was great, great stuff, and it kind of, it introduced a lot of the Americans to music that was already there.
Well, John Lennon said, quote, "If there was another name for rock and roll, it would be Chuck Berry."
Yeah, it's as much as they like to say that. Elvis Presley, the king of rock and roll. The only reason why he was the king of rock and roll is because he was white. back in the '50s. They're not going to say Little Richard or Chuck Berry. Buddy Guy or those guys. But they're all part of that fabric. But you know what I always liked, and again, knowing of your career, with that the Animals, Eric Burdon, the Animals, Eric Burdon in War, solo stuff. It's funny how, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, how you kind of weaved your way through all sorts of genre music, and I hate to say this, and I hope it's not going to come off bad, but you're like a living legend, for God's sakes. You really are a musical treasure simply because of all the people that you've known and been with, and from Monterey Pop. I mean, there weren't too many Englishmen that came over to America and hung out in the San Francisco scene. Brian Jones, I think, was one. I think George Harrison went there, was so disappointed he went back home. But I think you've made your home out there in the West Coast, no?
I did, but I didn't make my home in the Haight-Ashbury district. That's what disturbed George,
Yeah, because everybody was walking around with them without any shoes on. Which is kind of fucked up, but it was the time. But being a part of the Monterey and of course recording that song and San Francisco Nights and I remember you told an interesting story about the song Sky Pilot, where you were in airport and a bunch of Green Berets came in at the same time and you were a little on the nervous side. Because you were afraid that, you know, maybe they were. And instead, they just, like, you know, embraced you and embraced the song.
Yeah, and that went on to be a military favorite.
Yeah.
Even though it was supposed to be the other way around.
Hey, well, it certainly was. It was, you know, it definitely was an anti, you know, an anti-war song. But it goes to show you that the guys that were there, you know, during those Vietnam, didn't want to be there. They knew
it was wrong.
They,
you know, people forget that combatants, you know, they want the war to stop just as much as anybody else does.
Exactly, and especially during that time, it was. You know, again, it was great to be alive during that time, to be a part of that incredible history, and it's funny how that history, how it musically had a musical soundtrack to that part of history, which I thought was very, very incredible. You know.
Yeah. Well, there was lots to write about.
Yeah.
And there was lots of nuances to face. And. You know, lots of social battles to fight.
Yeah.
You're
coming to a venue in Ridgefield, Connecticut, called the Ridgefield Playhouse. A really, really cool venue. You know, it's very intimate. It's nice. It's in a beautiful part of the state of Connecticut. I know you've been in the state before. I remember seeing you. I guess the last time I saw you, you were touring with Brian Auger.
Oh yeah,
and you did a very, very entertaining show at Toad's Place, which was one still to my day one of my favorite shows at Toad's, and it was an early show. It was like a 7:30 kind of show, which was early at this club because they had like a dance party they did at like 11 o'clock,
yeah.
Where it was all these kids would come in, and there's you, Brian Auger. I can't remember who else was in the band, but, you know, throwing joints up on the stage and that kind of stuff. And then these kids come in, had not a fucking clue as what the hell was going on. And I just remember it being an extraordinary night. And I even think you came on my radio show that afternoon. But we're going back that I can't even remember that well. But it's going to be cool to see you October 23rd at the Ridgefield Playhouse. Who's in the band? Is it a lot of new guys, you know, or guys you've been playing with? Or?
Well, lots of friends of mine for a long time. Wally Ingram on percussion, and we have Eric McFadden on guitar. We've got double drums, double guitars, and bass.
And billing the show is Eric Burden and the Animals, so I'm assuming we're going to hear a lot of the great animal stuff.
Oh yeah, sure.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah. That's what we're looking forward to, and just looking on YouTube and stuff. I made a mistake one day in hanging out with Jack Bruce for like about a week. I was interviewing him, going to a couple of his gigs, and I'm sure.